You know, those of us who are dads, we work from a deficit when it comes to moms. I saw this, I've read a number of studies, and they almost all bear out each other. The fact of the matter is, dads, we lose when it comes to mom. It's just the way it is in all the studies. So I thought I'd share with us, just to get our attention a bit, here's the breakdown between the statistics that have been taken with regard to Mom's Day and Dad's Day. The number of people who celebrate Mother's Day here in this country is 84.5% of our population. The number celebrating Father's Day is 76.1%. Overall spending on Mother's Day is $19.9 billion. The overall spending on Father's Day is $12.5 billion. Average spending per person in the U.S. on Mother's Day is $162.94. So some of you that didn't reach the 164, cheapskates. The average spending on Father's Day is $113.80. People, you laugh too hard, Jackie. People who give cards to mom on Mother's Day is 81.3%, and people who give a card to dad is 64.1%. So the clear winner is mom. Although dads come out ahead in at least one category. 43% of dads will get an apparel gift compared to 33% of moms. So dads, next month, enjoy your tie. Yeah. So there's your apparel gift. One of my favorites in history is Abraham Lincoln. And he said this, "Behind every great man is a great mother." Napoleon Bonaparte, the emperor in Europe for a time, in France, he said, "Let France have great mothers, and France will have great sons." And then one of my favorite preachers and evangelists of yesteryear, Dwight Lyman Moody, he said, "All I have accomplished, or all I have ever accomplished, I owe to my godly mother." So moms are special, and if my mom were able to sit in the congregation with us this morning, then I would publicly thank her for not only being my mom, but I do believe part of the reason I have come to faith in Christ is while I was away in the military, she had a group of people at Receta First Baptist who prayed for me every day over a 4.5 year period, making my life miserable as a sinner, but nonetheless, still wanting to be a sinner until that eventful evening. So my mom, she is a very special lady. Mitch, would you put that first slide up on the screen? Oh, slide. I'm sorry. Not the video. Slide. That is a 1947 Hudson. How many of you remember Hudsons? You're old. Oh, you remember. Nick, you're so young. Anyway, if you find a clean one today, they're like $27,000. But when my mom was driving one of those things, it was an old clunker, and it had actually fabric, you know, on the inside covering the roof. But in ours, it was hanging down. And on the driver's side, in the back seat is where I usually sat. And my brother Don sat on the other side. And we didn't have seat belts. And we lived. My mom, however, whenever we went anywhere, she was always armed with a tool. It was called the fly swatter. Now, fly swatters today are made of plastic. In my day, they were made out of metal. So, but being the intelligent one of the two, I always sat behind my mom, because when my brother and I were fighting, she would reach over with that swatter, bam, bam, but she could never get me because I'm back here. Anyway, would you show that other slide? That was our other car. Anybody remember Studebakers? Yeah, they're defunct too. I don't know what that says about baby boomers, but anyway, I used to do the same thing there. I'd hide behind, but it had a lower seat, and she was a little more accurate by that point. But anyway, my mom was is a tremendous lady. If you look at your message notes, the very top, I'd like us to read together with strength in our voices, Psalm 139 and verses 13 and 14. Let's read this together aloud. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. This is such a positive passage to be reading in the Psalms. Think about what you just read for a moment. King David is saying here, God the Father knew all about his being made, his being formed in his mother's womb. Because Father God was the one that's involved in this whole process. Therefore, God knew him so intimately, so very intimately. He says here, for you, God, you formed me. You fashioned me. You were the one that was putting me together. God is the one who knitted me together in my mother's womb. In Job 10:11, let's read this aloud together. You clothed me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews, with bones and with ligaments. The fact is, and here's your fill-in, the language is figurative. It's figurative in that creating and knitting describe Father God's sovereign superintendence over the natural process of reproduction, both here in Psalm 139 and Job 10. Now, David, living when he did, without the benefit of science and all the things that we have come to know about the reproductive system today, in his rudimentary knowledge, he has marveled at what he can see here with regard to the human body. He uses words wonderfully and wonderful, and they speak of God's marvelous creative ability to do what he has done. In Psalm 139, verse 6, it says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. You are infinite. I am finite. I just can't grasp this. For example, take your hands. Take your hands, put them in front of yourself. Wiggle those fingers. Look at that. Look at that. You look at your hands, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Look, there's skin that's over bones. And when you can, you can do this with your phalanges and your metacarpals. Isn't that cool? I remember that from I don't know where. But David could just look at this hand. And there's no zippers. I mean, the skin covers over everything perfectly. There's bones inside there. And there's something up here. Some of you would argue with me that I have a brain. But my mind tells my hand, to make a fist. It can be used as a weapon. My mind says, open your hand. It can be an encouraging thing by closing those four fingers and lifting my thumb. Hey, that's cool. Everything's going good. Or my mind can say, okay, close them again, but turn your hand upside down. It can be a negative. Things look pretty bad here. Pretty bad indeed. So the hand and the rest of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. I have a thumb. I can grasp things and hold them. I have a pointer finger. I can really point out your sins. Oh, but I've got these three pointing back at me. And then, you know, you've got to be careful with that center finger. And you've got the ring fingers, and you've got this pinky. And they all have a mission. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. How does that work? God is the one that made it. You know, it's too high for me to attain it. I can go through all kinds of science and say, well, the neurons are firing and doing this, that, and the other thing, and therefore those things can happen. But I'm still fearfully and wonderfully made. My body repairs itself. It's an amazing thing that God has done for me and for you. So today, in other places, the church is meeting together like we are corporately. They're here to honor the Lord and to worship His Son. But we're also here this morning at this particular church to learn a little bit more about what Dr. J. Vernon McGee meant when he coined the phrase there in your notes, the mother heart of Father God. The mother heart of Father God. Abba Father used your mother as an instrument to craft you, to form you, and to make you into the son, the daughter, the male, the female. He used her to bring you safely into this world, to bring Him glory and to bring Him honor. That's why you're here, to bring Him glory and honor. Some of us think what we're here for us and for our glory and our honor, our career. No, we're here to give Him the glory due His name. That's why we're really here. But there's a little over 55 million little Americans that aren't here today because their lives were taken by doctors, by the permission of their mothers. We see since 1973, Roe versus Wade, over 55 million little ones' lives taken, and we, at the rate of approximately 1.5 million babies a year, they're still losing their lives in America. I'm not talking about around the world. I'm just talking about here. If you take the population of Georgia and plus the top population of Michigan, add the population of Virginia, plus the population of Nebraska, add the population of Nevada and the population of Iowa, South Dakota, Rhode Island, Arizona, plus the population of Oregon, Kansas, and Vermont, Mississippi, and the population of Alaska, then you will have roughly the number of people who have lost their lives since Roe versus Wade. That would be like depopulating these 14 states that I just read to you of Americans. And it's not even an issue anymore with regard to the political planks in either of the major parties that we're going to be voting for next month. and towards the end of the year. But you see, you're here today because your mom made the decision to keep you safe. You're here because of a decision your mom, hopefully also your dad, but sometimes dads aren't around when a woman becomes a mom. But whatever the marital condition your mom was in, she made the decision to keep you. And in our day and age, that is something to be praised, as we just saw. This is a beautiful picture of the heart of God, as we see that He has tremendous involvement in each of our lives as it comes to the weaving of us together, figuratively speaking. If you look at your notes, our mothers deserve so much. Our moms deserve so much. They deserve our deep affection, our agape as well as our phileo love. They deserve to be held. They deserve to be hugged. They deserve to get that peck on the cheek or on the forehead, whatever your custom is, or maybe you've never kissed mom. Our moms deserve our affection. They deserve our agape love. They deserve for us to make those sacrifices that are necessary to see them through, because they made the sacrifices necessary for us to come to the point to where we are now. They need to be honored, and appreciation needs to be given to them. Whether you had a great experience in your childhood growing up, or you had a negative experience in your childhood growing up, Father God chose your mother to play a vital role in your life and in mine. The fact is this, and here's your fill-in. You are no accident. I want you to get that down deep in your soul. You are no accident. Now bear in mind, I understand oops babies. I are one. You know, my dad was a Marine. He came home on leave and oops. there I was on my way. Good thing, too. You know, I think Tojo heard I was coming, and Hitler, because, you know, World War II ended in June, and I was born in May, and then the Japanese capitulated in August. They're just afraid of me. But you're no accident, and as you see here in the fact, our Lord's choice in your mom was no accident. Our Lord decided that He wanted you to have her 23 chromosomes along with Dad. Father God is sovereign. Sovereign. Our trust in that truth can bring healing and hope into our lives. We may have been told we were an accident, but we were not. Not according to God. We are part of His plan. You are not a surprise to Him. Just a thought. Here's your fill-in. I know as parents we say that our children are gifts from God. Not always. But much of the time. As parents we say our children are gifts from God. In a similar respect, let's see our mothers as God's gifts to us. Let's see our mothers as God's gifts to us. Looking at the scriptures, we can find many examples of the forming relationships between a mother and her child. So if you look at your notes, I give you a heading. Let's take the following five mothers as examples to see how everyone, male or female, can learn from the examples that are provided by these five mothers. These five mothers speak into our lives whether we be men or not. Okay, guys? But I want the women to see if they see part of themselves in these women of God. The first one we're going to look at is Hannah. Hannah. I love that name. Hannah. Because Hannah means favor, grace. And every time she walked into the room where Elkanah, her husband, would be, he could see and be thinking, here comes God's treasure, his grace, his favor, this treasure in this woman. She's coming to me. That's Hannah. Your fill-in is we can follow Hannah's faith, though, and dedication of her most prized possession, Samuel, to the Lord. Our focus here is on her faith. In 1 Samuel 1, 27 and 28, let's read that together out loud. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord. She prayed. She had faith. She had faith, though she prayed often. If you read these passages, you will see her in tears, brokenhearted. She is a woman, and in a culture, if you haven't had children by a particular time, people begin to think, what's wrong with you? And they just didn't understand that sometimes there was infertility, and not necessarily on the woman's side, but on the father's side. The fact is, and here's your fill-in, without faith, we cannot please our Lord. So moms, as you begin to stumble and fall in your faith, as you look at life and what's going on in your relationship with your kids, maybe, don't lose faith. Ask the Lord, build my faith. But develop your faith, moms. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So continue to seek the Lord, even as you see maybe things going awry with your youngster, making sinful choices. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose your faith. The reason why so many prayers go unanswered is simply because people are not willing to give of themselves in a full way to the Lord. And that's exactly what we've been learning in the book of Acts, isn't it? As we looked at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, we're to be living sacrifices. We're not giving ourselves to the American way or giving ourselves to the upper call of God in Christ Jesus. Being conformed to his image, not the image that we see in the media in the pursuit of the American way. So here's just a thought in your fill-in. The phrase, taking a leap of faith, you've heard that? Just, it's a leap of faith, implies a swift, sure movement in a direction where the destination is unseen. So trust in the Lord. You can't see as far as he can. Take a leap of faith, but with your hand holding squarely in his. Hannah offered up everything she had by prayer and faith. And she was rewarded by God blessing her with fertility. There may be a woman in our church family right now, or maybe visiting, and you have not been able at this point to have a child. I just ask you to think of two things. I'm not saying you are this way. I'm just asking you to think of two things. One, have I given myself to Jesus in a full way? And am I really trusting him to fulfill my heart's desire about a child? Here, Hannah, she prays, she has faith, and she was rewarded by God making her fertile. He blessed her and her husband, in such a tremendous way, as we're going to see here in another passage. But he gave them Samuel, this blessed prophet of God. In 1 Samuel 2, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Then Eli, who was the high priest at the time, would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, 'May the Lord give you children by this woman for the petition she asked of the Lord.' So then they would return to their home. Indeed, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters, and the boy Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord." Boy, did he ever. He blessed Israel. He became a rich, I don't mean in wealth financially, but he was a rich, intelligent, wise man, used of the Lord to speak into the lives of all of Israel, a man of tremendous integrity. So, ladies, guys, we need to follow Hannah's example of having faith. Jochebed, her name means to be impressive. And she was impressive, very impressive. She was the mother of Aaron and Miriam and the man we would come to know as Moses. Jochebed. She was impressive to me for many reasons. As you see here, here's your fill-in. We can learn from Jochebed's love. As we learn from Hannah's faith, we look at Jochebed's love for Moses and the lengths she was willing to go to protect her son. We see here in Exodus 2:3, when she, Jochebed, could hide him, Moses, no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes, in other words, papyrus reeds, and dubbed it with bitumen, in other words, tar and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. Now, if you've never read the story there in Exodus, then you've missed out. What an exciting adventure that took place there. Pharaoh is scared to death because there's far too many Jewish men that he has in his country. Now, granted, they're slaves, but he thinks that they could have a slave uprising and overthrow them. So he has all the Jewish men killed. He's going to have all the Jewish children killed. Couldn't kill the men because he still needs them to do what he wanted done in the country. But all the children, if they were male, they were to be killed at childbirth by the midwives helping the mother to give birth. That's a boy, you kill it. But in this case, Jochebed and this midwife, they put their lives on the line. They put their lives on the line. Because if it was found out that this child was a boy and lived, then they could forfeit their lives. So, Moses is born, and as we have seen in the New Testament, God works all things together for good to those who are called by him and love him. And so they put this little boy in this, what I call like an ark, and put it in the reeds, but not just in the reeds. Across the way, you've got Pharaoh's daughter. and she's childless. And she finds the basket, and she opens it up, and she takes Moses and makes him her own child, declares him to be her son. And the way God is and the way he works things out so wonderfully is that now Jochebed gets to be his wet nurse as it's worked out. Because Pharaoh's daughter couldn't nurse him, and she chose Jochebed. And so he would be able to be in her life for a while longer. So family, ladies, moms, continue to allow that love that God has poured out in your heart for your kids. I know at times you feel like, I just don't want to deliver that love to my child. I'm so mad. Don't block it. Let the Spirit of God do what he wants to do in your life. Move aside from the flesh. Let him love where you can't at the moment. Then there's Elizabeth. Elizabeth, and that means my God is abundance. My God is abundance. Elizabeth, here's your fill-in. We can learn from Elizabeth's commitment to the Lord to remain faithful and live in obedience to him all the days of our lives. She really loved God. She loved him very much. Look at this passage in Luke chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And Zechariah and Elizabeth were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. That's not to say they never sinned. It's simply to say they took our Lord seriously, they loved him very much, and they really, with all they could do, wanted to fulfill his wishes. So they walked blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. So just a thought. Full faith is an all-out, no-holds-barred approach to life punctuated by actions of belief. Our Heavenly Father can deliver to us those things that we cannot deliver to ourselves. Those things we can't acquire on our own. And Elizabeth, like Sarah, she's advanced in years. She's beyond the point that she thinks that she can have a child naturally. And here she's going to have a child by her husband, but yet it's going to be naturally with a little super added to it. She's going to give birth to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, because she was faithful and she demonstrated her love to God through her obedience. As Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. And she was obedient and faithful. And so moms, I want to encourage you, as life wants to beat you down, as other people may say negative things to you, I want to encourage you to look to the Lord, read his word, be encouraged. He loves you. You're no accident. Your child isn't an accident. You're special to him because you're this person that he wanted to see come into the world. And your mom brought you forth safe into the world. Don't give up being faithful and living in obedience. And then Mary. Mary, this is a complex name. I don't know if you know this, you know, Marias and so forth. You know, I can see our Maria being in our church family. I can see her being beloved. I can see her being for the wish for child. But it also means bitter. And there's someone in my life by the name of Mary, and she is bitter. And it also means rebellious. And this particular bitter Mary that I know, she is that too. But I want to think of the Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I prefer to see her as being someone who is beloved and the child who is wanted. So here's your fill-in. We can learn from Mary to bow our knees and our heart to God and to submit to his call and cherish his will for our lives. We need to cherish his will for our lives. Can you imagine? Here she is. She's probably about 13, 14 years old. And the angel Gabriel is sharing with her, you're going to have a baby. Not only that, you're going to have God the Father's baby. You're going to be mocked and made fun of. You're going to have a bad reputation within the village. I mean, on and on. In Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, these passages that I've listed there for you, it says, behold, she says, behold, I am a servant of the Lord. And we take that so smooth. It's so nice. What she's saying, behold, take a look. Behold, I am a slave of the Master, of the Most High God. I am His slave, and this is what I choose to be. I am happy to be His slave. She goes on and says, let it be to me according to your word. What Gabriel shared with her, the very words of God to her, she's saying, Father God, as it's done in heaven, let it be done here to me, here on earth. Your will be done, not mine. Your will be done. And Mary said, my soul magnifies, my soul glorifies, my soul lifts up the Lord, the Master, and my spirit rejoices in God, our Savior. But Mary treasured up all these things and more that I've shared, pondering them in her heart. Dr. Tony Evans, the father of, ladies, your Priscilla Shire, he wrote in his book, Kingdom Women, on page 85, whether you sacrifice your own time, energy, or personal want, nothing is wasted when you commit it to serving Him, meaning God. So ladies, some of you have been through the ringer, so to speak, but don't think it's gone to a waste as you have done this in a sacrificial way, in obedience to your call as a mom, in the love that is sacrificial that you've demonstrated, in the faith that you've had to live by during the tough times. Just remember, the Lord sees all those things. And He knows you can't do them perfectly. But as you struggle, I want to encourage you, remember the Holy Spirit's there to help you do more of what you'd like to do. You know, Mother's Day can be a really downer day. One, mom might have already passed away. Mom may have been a nightmare growing up. Moms often just find themselves in a funk because they put so much on themselves. They bring a depression into their lives because I wasn't this perfect mom. And guess what, mom? You can't be perfect. You can't be perfect. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was not a perfect mother. She was a sinner like any other woman in the world, saved by God's grace, like you. Just walk in faith with the Lord and give yourself more and more in fullness to Him, and you'll become more and more that mom you want to be. And some of us, we can't go back, and you can't be that mom because they're 6'6" now. But maybe with the grandkids, you can be that mom you always wanted to be. Or you can go to that 6'6" son or daughter and you can say to them, please forgive me. Forgive me. And if they don't, that's on them. But if they do, great. But if they don't, our Heavenly Father already forgave you in Christ. Walk with Him. Walk with Him. Well, lastly, and I know I'm over time, Sarah. Sarah, another beautiful name. Sarah, it means princess. Whenever she walked into the tent, you know, Abraham could say, there's my princess. That's my girl. You know, my wife's got 6 decades on her. I think you knew that. Forget it. But she's my girl. I'm an old woman, Ron. No, you're my girl. You know, when I look at Kathy, I see her in the now. But you know, I really see her when I first met her. I see her as she stood at the back of that church just before we said our vows. I see this beautiful, wonderful woman who God gave me. I see this treasure. You know, I have 5 granddaughters and 2 grandsons. And it looks like the score is 5-2 and it isn't going to change. So the guys are losing. But my second granddaughter, Alina, when she was about 3 1/2, we were out walking, and I just said, "You know, Alina, you're my Sarah." And she looked at me and said, "No, Papa, I'm Alina." I said, "I know, honey, but you probably don't understand, but Hebrew, the Hebrew word, Sarah, means princess, and you're my princess." "No, I'm not, Papa, I'm your Alina." And I've been doing that to her for the last 13 years. Well, she's going to be 13 next month. She's my princess. But look at your notes. We can learn from Sarah to believe God, to be faithful to his word. Even in times when the world would tell us to give up. Remember? He made a promise almost 90 years earlier. "You're going to have a son. And we're not talking about adopting Ishmael. We're talking about you are going to have a son, Isaac." Hebrews 11:11 says, by faith, moms, remember this, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. And I think you've noticed, Mom, you've gone to your knees, you've gone to prayer, you've asked the Lord for something in particular, and it hasn't happened. It's been a couple months. It's been a number of years. Here, the promise was made that she was going to have a son. And at age 90, when nobody has children, Sarah, the princess, she supernaturally becomes a mother. Because God promised. And he doesn't go back on his promises. Learn the promises of God, Mom. Learn them. Receive them. Because he cannot lie. He will bring his promises to pass in your life. So just a thought. A believing mother of faith must pursue both Jesus and the authority of the word of God with a heart of humility. We can move into arrogance, at least I can, fairly easily. So girls, become a woman of the word. Learn the word. Pass it on to your children. Live it before your children. Our Heavenly Father has given mothers as a gift for you and for me to cherish. And so I want to encourage you today and every day from this time on, make it Mother's Day. Help her to remember that you appreciate and that you really love her. And whatever's necessary in terms of sacrifice, if God can help you do it, then please make sure you do it. Or ask someone to help you so that the need can be met. My mom watched over me for almost 17 years before I went into the military. And I've been watching over her now for the last 25 years. And that's fair. She made sacrifices for me as a single mom before our Lord allowed for her to get married again. She gave up things so that my brother and I could have things. She made the sacrifices. So now, I wish my brother that I fought with was still alive and he could help me out. But the Lord helps me to take care of my mom. And I hope she's got a whole bunch of years left because I'm not ready to be an orphan. So these ladies, these five ladies, have much we can learn from. And I've only scratched the surface. I hope you'll go to their stories, their biblical, historical accounts, and read them yourself and grow thereby. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for meeting us here in this beautiful way of having your Spirit minister to ours through the living words of your Scripture. And again, Father, we thank you that you decided that we all needed moms and dads. This is your plan. So help us now, Father, to fulfill the plan that you have and to treat our moms with the honor that they are due, just by position. And beyond that, help us to love them as you would want us to. Because when we didn't really deserve your love, you loved us anyway. And you've been trying to reveal to us that mother heart of yours being our Father God. So it's in Christ that we thank you for these beautiful women that you created. They were not mistakes. We thank you so much for them in Jesus' name. Amen.